Jesus before Pilate, a reading from St. Matthew's Gospel. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus replied, "You have said so." When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him,
"Don't you hear the testimony they're bringing against you?"
But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them,
"Which one do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For he knew that it was out of self-interest that they'd handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Pilate asked the crowd,
"Which of the two do you want me to release to you?"
"Barabbas," they answered.
"What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
And they all answered, "Crucify him."
"Why? What crime has he committed?"
But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd.
"I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility."
And the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers round him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
The reading is taken from Luke 23, verse 27 to 33. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' The people do these things when the tree is green. What will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left.
The cross stands above it all as a symbol of hope. This is the message of Good Friday, that the cross of Christ is the hinge of human history. Jesus' death on a cross stands above all other moments witnessed since the beginning of time. This day in the church calendar, we are invited to stand at the foot of the cross and gaze upon the beauty and the horror of it once more. Now, I'm sure many of us have been following the events in Paris this week, especially on Monday evening when the news of the fire ripping through the Cathedral of Notre Dame was being reported in real time. We know that at 6:50 p.m. on Monday, the first reports of a fire in the cathedral were made. At 7:05, the cathedral's giant spire collapses. At 7:10, the cathedral's very frame is burning to the ground. By 7:30, artwork and some great historic relics are saved. But at this point, it's thought that the whole cathedral will be lost. By 8:20 p.m., President Macron is on the scene. At 8:30, the tower is on fire. And there's really thought that there's little hope that any of the cathedral will be saved. By 9:30 p.m., there are 400 firefighters on the scene, courageously tackling the blaze. By 9:40 p.m., people are beginning to gather near the scene of the fire to sing hymns and to pray. And extraordinarily, by 10 p.m., the cathedral has been saved. A few observations struck me as I've been reflecting on that event on Monday. Firstly, the fire was unexpected. I doubt the citizens of Paris woke up that morning and thought, do you know what? I've got a suspicion that cathedral might catch fire today. The fire was unwanted. None of the residents of Paris, or hopefully anyone around the world, wanted that fire to take place. And for most of the time, as the fire blazed, it seemed that the fire would be the end of the cathedral's life and existence. Which leads us to Good Friday. You see, the cross was unexpected. The Jewish people were not expecting a crucified Messiah, despite the words of the great prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53, where he promises that a Messiah would come who would be pierced for our transgressions. Nobody was expecting a crucified Messiah on the first Good Friday. The cross was unwanted. The disciples, never mind Mary, didn't wake up on the first Good Friday thinking, yippee, this is the day that Jesus, our rabbi, will be crucified. And the cross seemed like the end for the disciples. The disciples must have been tempted to think, as Jesus hung on a cross in agony, that they'd backed the wrong horse. That they'd got it wrong, that Jesus wasn't the Messiah they'd hoped he would be. Which leads us to this image of the cross in the Cathedral of Notre Dame. They say a picture speaks 1,000 words. And I don't know about you, but this has been an image that I've been pondering for most of this week. See, the cross is the heart of the Christian gospel. The cross stands above the rubble as a symbol of hope. As I've been reflecting on this image that's gone around the world this week, I've been reminded of the lyrics of a song that Tim Hughes wrote. The cross stands above it all, burning bright in this life. The cross towers over it all. One hope, one deliverer. Saviour reigning high above it all. I want to ask this question this morning. How does the cross stand above it all as a symbol of hope in our lives? Firstly, the cross stands above as a symbol of hope because it says we are loved. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but may have eternal life. God loves the world. You are loved by God. It's interesting, our culture has a problem with identity. The world around us says, you can be whoever you want to be, look deep inside yourself and discover the true and authentic you. But the cross, the gospel, says your identity is a gift of God. You are created in the image of a loving God and so of infinite dignity and worth. God loves us so much. It's love that sends Jesus Christ to the cross. And it's love for you and for me and for all of humanity that keeps him nailed to that cross on Good Friday. This Good Friday, do we need to be reminded of the wonder, the power of God's love for us? Secondly, the cross stands above as a symbol of hope because it says we are forgiven. St. Paul says to the early church in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. In other words, on the cross, Jesus is defeating the power of sin. And our culture has a problem with sin. Culture says to be human is to be freely autonomous. So do as you please as long as you don't hurt anyone else, as if we can judge our actions and their consequences. The gospel, the cross, says God is holy and humanity flourishes when it lives according to the ways of the Lord. And one of my heroes of the faith, Tim Keller, says this. The gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. Can I say that once more? Because that's really good news on Good Friday. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. So on the cross on Good Friday, we remember that Jesus Christ dies for the forgiveness of sins. As he hangs on the cross, he pays the penalty, the wages of sin that each one of us deserves to pay on our behalf. Think of all the ways in your life in which you've messed up. Think of all the things you've done that's damaged yourself, your relationships with others, and if you're being honest, you know goes against the way God would have you live your life. Think of all those things, and then imagine Jesus Christ on the cross, hanging there, taking all of those things you've done, past, present, and future, and absorbing them into himself. So that as he hangs there carrying the weight of each one of our sins. And he dies paying the price that we deserve to pay. The cross is a symbol of hope because it says we are forgiven. Finally, the cross stands above as a symbol of hope because it says we are accepted as we are. St. Paul writes in Romans 5 verse 6, for while we were still sinners, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. You know, I love the image of the cross, as brutal as it is. I love the fact that as Jesus Christ dies on a cross, he dies with his arms wide open. He dies in a posture of invitation and embrace. He dies with his arms open to the world, to you and to me. Never mind thinking about all the people in Buckingham who aren't celebrating Good Friday and Easter Sunday this year. He dies on that cross with his arms open, ready to welcome, ready to accept, ready to embrace each and every one of us. No matter where we are with the Lord, and no matter what rubbish and junk and mess we have in our life. The cross stands above as a symbol of hope because it says that you and me are accepted and welcomed by a God of love. And as I return to this image and I think about this picture, this dramatic scene in the Cathedral of Notre Dame, I think that within this picture for me, there's almost a glimpse of hope. You see the cross stands above the ruins and the rubbles of the cathedral. But behind the cross, you can see that there are walls still standing just about. The cathedral may have been brought down, but it's not finished with yet. There are hopes within this picture that the cathedral has a future, that the cathedral can be rebuilt, that this cathedral can be brought back to life. And so it is for us on Good Friday as we think about this day. Although today we're invited to stand at the foot of the cross, to gaze at the sacrifice of Christ, we know that Good Friday isn't the end of the story for us as the church. We know that it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. We know as we look at the cross that the death of Christ is not the end of the story. Although we're not there yet, we're invited to sit and meditate and pray in anticipation of what's to come on Sunday. And so I want to close with these reflections on this image that I saw on my most trusted source of wisdom for sermon preparation, Facebook. And it was posted by a member of our congregation, Charlotte, and it was so profound, I thought I'm going to pinch that since I'm speaking on Good Friday. So this is the gospel according to Charlotte on Facebook. Whatever your doubts, whatever your pain, whatever your hopelessness, the cross stands above it all. Truth, healing, hope. Bring it all to Jesus, who died in your place, who rose to give you real life, who never fails, who never gives up, who turns defeat into your victory. Amen.
Please sit or kneel to pray.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Heavenly Father, we remember today the pain and suffering of the cross, and all that Jesus was willing to endure so we could be set free. He paid the price, such a great sacrifice, to offer us the gift of eternal life. Help us never to take for granted this huge gift of love on our behalf. Help us to be reminded of the cost of it all. Forgive us for being too busy or distracted by other things, for not fully recognizing what you have freely given, what you have done for us. We pray for your bride, the church. In light of the Notre Dame fire, we thank you that you work for the good in all things for those who believe in you. We trust you that out of the fire, a greater awareness of how precious your church, your people is. And we pray for the secular Republic of France that has so emphatically turned its back on you, that out of the ashes, something new and wonderful would arise. Lord, we pray for the 875 churches in France that in 2018 were attacked and that have been ignored by the media through a fear of upsetting non-Christians. We pray for all of the churches worldwide that have been bombed and torched, such as the recent ones in Louisiana and Egypt. We pray for protection over the 50,000 Christians that were driven from their homes in the first 6 months of 2018 in Nigeria. And Lord, as the blood of the 6,000 Christians killed in the past months in Nigeria cries out for justice, we pray for that justice to come. We pray for your church here in Buckingham, that there would be unity and a zeal for your gospel, so that the kingdom of God might draw closer to this community. And we pray that when we gather outside the old jail, there might be some drawn in by your spirit who will step closer to you. Bless each and every one of us that we might be effective ambassadors for you this day and in the future. Thank you, Lord, that by your wounds we are healed. Thank you that because of your huge sacrifice we can live free. Thank you that sin and death have been conquered and that your power is everlasting. Thank you that we can say with great hope, it is finished. For we know what's still to come. And death has lost its sting. We praise you, for you are making all things new. Let us close by saying the prayer our Lord and Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. So, in a moment, we're going to stand for our closing hymn. It has two verses. And during this, the cross carrier, who I think has been selected already, is going to come forward with the helpers to undress the cross and to basically leave the church. And as the cross leaves the church, would you all please just follow on down to the old jail using the zebra crossing? We have no road closures, so please don't just step out into the road without looking. Okay, and then